are devout to it, and we have the utmost of respect for it. We, as God's people, first and foremost, are followed by the instruction and the wisdom of the Word of God, the beautiful insight into humanity, into civilization, if you will, came through the power from on high. You'll recall in the reading of God's Word, in the great first book of the Bible, Genesis, and it reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep," or the waters, American Standard says, "and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light." Many scholars have noted that God, the creator of all things, out of which power of existence flowed, made light before he made the sun. What a powerful statement that is. Does it have to be as it is? Well, we would ascribe yes. We would ascribe that God created the world in six literal days. And that through that process of the miraculous, it didn't matter whether it was 24 hours or an instant, but he chose to give the moon to be the light over the night and the sun to be the light over the day. He chose us as his people to be a light unto the world. Think about our text reading in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. First of all, when we represent God, we represent the light. That light that passes not just from space and time and all equilibrium, but we pass from soul to soul, from heart to heart, from mind to mind. We are that light. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? This holiness that is represented here is purity. And think about light when it's pure. But when light flows as it is passing right now through the front of our building and into this space, it illuminates and it is pure. We know when a light has been dimmed. We know when a light has a shade over it, or that maybe you cover it with your hand so that it's not so bright. We are thinking about the danger this morning of Christians and the negative impact our examples can be because we can dim our light. We sing the beautiful song to children, "Let your light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Here, for us as adults, for those with the knowledge to understand and discern what is righteousness, we see Peter laying it out for us. Light and holiness must be in harmony. If our holiness is light, he says, 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which the righteousness dwells. He is speaking of that from the physical to the spiritual. We read the physical this morning at the beginning. We see this beautiful window into the creation of all things, a physical earth, heavens above. That word in the Hebrew meant a covering, an overshadowing. So all that is above. What's implied there is that with God in this spiritual kingdom, there is no heavens above, no earth beneath, because it is a spiritual realm. There is a place of forever space of goodness, a place of forever space of beauty, and that place is purely holy. There is nothing that will enter into that place that is defiled, that is marred, is somewhat diminished by sin. Sin cannot even be in its presence of that place. And that's all I'm going to say about that. We can think about that from the standpoint of dedication, right? Our light and holiness tie together with dedication. It ties together with righteousness, with what he speaks of. Our conduct and our godliness are tied then to our righteousness. Keep reading with me in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. That righteousness and dedication ties to being blameless, not sinless perfection. But the fact that this light, there's no occlusion in it, no spots. This light I can see clearly, and although the source may not be halogen, right? The source does not have to be like a candlelight, but I can tell that there's no spot in it. I can tell that it is bright as it possibly can be, and I don't compare and qualify the halogen light with the candle. They're different. But the candle can be bright or dim, so can the halogen light. Some of us are halogens, amen. Some of us are candles. Wherever we are to shine brightly. Not let that light be diminished by unrighteousness. But literally, it is our job to shine the light of Christ. Yes. So, a couple things to be mind. There are some things that diminish our spiritual light in a world of darkness. The first one is denial. Denial. Denial diminishes our light because if you think of it in contrast to blameless, denial is blame that I have denied. Blame here is to be seen by God. Note what he says. Be diligent to be found by him in peace. It's not that God was looking for me. Amen. His light is everywhere. It says even in the secret places, all things are naked. They are bare and open before him, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. There's nothing that God cannot see, but there are plenty of things for me to be in denial of that diminish and hurt my life. I can be in denial of secret sin. Secret sin. Now, what are we talking about? We're not talking about particularly risky type of behavior. And that just encompasses most psychologists and sociologists believe risky behavior would be things that we know and identify. Probably four. Being an alcoholic. That's a risky behavior. Or partaking of alcohol and intoxicating oneself. Being given over to drugs. Certainly that's a risky behavior. Being involved in sexual immorality. Certainly that's a risky behavior. And being a liar or a cheat or in some way deceiving in your attitude and nature of your behavior is certainly a way that we are in denial. Those four things are just in general. They are not the full picture of all the ways that we have secret sin. But there are some things particularly about secret sin that are so harmful. Let's keep reading. Verse 15, still in 2 Peter 3, 15. Consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. Part of secret sin is that it causes us to have to misshape in our lives. I love that idea where he says that some that are untaught and unstable twist the scripture, twist the teaching. Literally, that is incompetent interpreters. That is the untaught. Those who are trying to guess at maybe what God wants. Maybe this is what the Bible means over here. Even though I've never studied it, and the person that I'm studying with, they have never studied it, and the person that taught me never studied it, we're just going to try and figure it out. This is no different than the person that closes their eyes, opens the Bible, and says, here, that's what God said to tell me. Untaught. No barrier. I mean, no basis even for the right interpretation. Incompetent. We can be that. Secret sin has the way of increasing the likelihood that we are going to do that. That idea of unstable literally means those that are weak, that are pent or have a penchant for wavering. This weakness is not a physical weakness. It's a one that I have this penchant that I want to kind of change things so that they fit my scenario, right? You talk to someone, they tell you a story, and then you talk to someone else about the same story. You say, no, it didn't quite match. And then you go back to them and they say, well, no, that's not really what I meant. You need to understand the context of what I'm saying, right? That's what I really intended. No, you said what you said, amen. And we ought to be a people that live by the truth of our words. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. People of integrity. Secret sin spoils our integrity. Think about in times of old, just in general, the things that secret sin have held Christians or God's people in the Old Testament captive to. I want to read with you from Hebrews chapter 1. The fact that God in his wisdom has revealed everything so we can identify secret sins, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. It's talking about Jesus. But what I want to emphasize here is he says, upholding all things by his power. Secret sin can't hold up. It can't hold up. It doesn't hold up to investigation. If you look at the facts, you're going to say something's not quite right here. If you look at the circumstances, it doesn't hold up to truthfulness. Because you say, this wasn't the same as it was before with you. Now it's different. The word of God has this power to reveal in us the things that we want to hide. And when we hide, just think about what that process, just that physical action I just did, I'm covering something, right? I'm covering something that I think no one knows about, but there's one who always knows, and that's God. And also myself, I'm aware of it. But just by covering, right, I am cutting off the light, if you will, the light of my heart. I can't say one thing and believe another consistently. Remember what Jesus had to say to the Pharisees and Sadducees, as is recorded in Mark chapter 6 and 7, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is not what one takes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of the man. We are light. So in us must be that light that is the power of the word of God. I can say that I'm such a person, a Christian, a man of honor, a person of integrity, a person of goodness and kindness. But when those things don't match my attitude, they don't match my words. They don't match my actions. Something doesn't add up. And the more I read and study the word of God, it's going to help me not just point it out because it's there, but it's going to help me to face those things. The light exposes, but it also heals. There are surgeries today that can be done with a laser. That's a type of light. But it must be guided very precisely because the same laser that can heal, that can repair, can do worse damage. Yes. In the hands of someone that's unskilled, when I put the word of God in my heart, I'm putting the skill to heal those problems. What happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached the first gospel sermon? They were cut to what? The heart. The light of that message hit them in such a way that they responded, what should we do? We are guilty of crucifying the Messiah. We did not know or we did not recognize or acknowledge him, but now we do. How can we fix it? Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. By his authority, his light will enter your life. And when that light has entered, there is no place for darkness. There's no place in my heart where darkness can remain still. Think about that. Denial not only comes with secret sin, but it is never the right solution. Denial is never the right solution. Why? Because what I find is when I deny where I am spiritually, when I deny my relationship to God, what it reveals to me is a sense of constantly trying to fix a problem that is always moving. Think about it this way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. We talk about the sun, John chapter 11, verse 9. which is often denoted there. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but he sees, because he sees the light of this world. The stumbling comes in the darkness, right? But the solution comes. The solution comes because when we come out of denial, we come out of the dark. As long as it's over here hidden, not only is my light dimmed, but I lose the power. Ever when they look for a flashlight and they say, what's wrong with this? Oh, the batteries are dead. I have no power. I have no source. The solution is go get more batteries. Don't keep shaking it. You can try to put them in the freezer. That's not going to work. You got to get more batteries. You cannot repower something in this chemical that causes that battery to work. It is dead. Many try the solution that denial makes evasive. Think about in the Old Testament, Sarah. Her light was dim because she did not trust in God. Her faith was weak because she only looked at the physical circumstances of her life. And so she tried a solution. Well, I'll have my husband go into Hagar. This time, of course, under the patriarchal period, the distinction of God's law, while absolutely bound, that started when God created woman, man and woman, one. But man, in his selfishness, said, well, I have more wives or I have concubines. And so in this sinful condition that started with a bad solution from Sarah, he took another wife, a secondary wife referred to in the Old Testament as a concubine. And that sin that started with her disobedience continued when Hagar became pregnant with child and she gave birth to Ishmael. And it changed the circumstances of Sarah and Hagar's life. Circumstances of our life can be changed when we seek God's solution for our problems. But as long as I'm trying to solve it myself, as long as I'm trying to outthink it or outrun it, it comes all the way back in circle. And most of the time when it comes back, it's bigger, it's worse. I can't handle it. I didn't make it better, but you can't convince me I won't try it again. Because what happens when you are untaught and unstable, you continue often the same pattern. The light then reveals that thing in us that is going to heal. Looking back at the Old Testament again, Joseph had faith in God. When he had every reason not to believe God's plan, he was condemned by his brothers, sold by an evil woman, betrayed by newfound friends in prison, and in the end of the events of his life, God was the true promise for his future. Everything in the circumstances, we would think, no, don't do that. Don't give yourself over to that, Joseph. They're going to lie to you. They're going to sell you into slavery. She's going to lie to you and say that you tried to commit fornication. Then you're going to get in prison. It's just going to be, just give up. Why are you even trying to shine your light in prison? Because he believed in God. Because his faith, he understood as the ultimate solution. Did it take some time? Sure it did. He had to wait for slavery to end. He had to wait for his conviction to end. He had to wait. But in the end, he became second in rule over all of Egypt. And in the very end, he was able to have mercy upon the same brothers who sold him. There's a beautiful thing about when we come into the light and we don't run away and try to figure out our solution. God has the right solution if I'll just be patient. What about the stories that we could go on and on about Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, all prove their faith in God, taken from their homeland and taken into a foreign country, far from the land of their birth. They were divorced. They were removed from everything that held them strong. And so what was their solution? Well, the Chaldeans, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, they said, no, well, we'll just change your name. But they remembered who they were. Even though they tried to change their name to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they remembered their true name. They remembered who they were, and ultimately God blessed them. The solution was not to escape into their culture, not to go along to get along. The solution was to be true to themselves, follow after the one who truly cared, and that was Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, and Daniel himself, Belteshazzar. Daniel was the one who guided them. And think about that. When I seek the solution that God provides, I'm not by myself. When I try to escape, right, and figure it out, most of the time, you know who I talk to? Me, right? I don't talk to somebody wiser. I don't talk to someone who really cares. You know, I talk to the people that say, yeah, Todd, you got it. Yeah, that's exactly what I do. Yeah, I can't believe you didn't try that before. They're going to tell me everything I want to hear. Here is the summation of it. Jesus is the light of the world. So Christians must constantly emphasize the light of God through faith. Turn back to Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. The sun renders objects visible and show their form and their nature, their beauties and deformities. This light applied to us is that we are showing the preeminent one, Jesus. There's a quote somewhere that says, microscopes bring things that are very small closer. A telescope, things that are very large and far away closer. What are we doing with the light? We're bringing something very large, that's Jesus, closer. How is that possible? It's because the word of God amplifies, doesn't it? It magnifies. I can see Jesus better when I read his word and when I recognize that's me. When you are the salt and the light of the world, that's me. You mean me, the one that sinned, me, the one that fell short, me, the one that disobeyed, me, the one that was given alcohol and drugs and immorality and lying, all those things. You remove that, though. That's the wonderful thing about God's solution is that he solves the problem. He solves the problem. And he brings me to a better place. The light is God's power, his spirit, his love. He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. There's a solution. It's not hiding. It's not secret sin. It's not figuring out your own solution. It's solving the problem because God. Because God. Problem, insert God. I don't mean that from the standpoint of saying you just see a problem and you say Christianity. No. Just like if I break my leg walking out in the parking lot, I want you to take me to the doctor. Don't just pray. I want you to pray, but please take me to the ER, okay? I want you to understand that. We determine things with wisdom, even though at times it appears there's no solution. God solves a problem because he helps us to see the source. There's a reason why I turn to those risky behaviors. It is the feelings that I have inside. It is my mental state. If I'm unstable and untaught, do not expect me to act as if I am. Where there is no righteousness, how can I produce righteousness? That's why it's important to learn the gospel from someone who has obeyed the gospel. But there is also this responsibility we are left with. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. If I'm going to glorify God and I'm commanded to, then I must do it now. I must do it now. This was written over thousands of years ago. Jesus walking on the earth 2,000 plus years ago. But now is the time for me to let my good works happen. You know why? Because slow obedience is disobedience. Slow obedience is disobedience. And my son Noah is here, so I can't use him as an example to preach. I'm going to use his brother, Micah. He's not here. And I call Micah's name, and I say, Micah, what you doing in there? And then a minute goes by. And I say, Micah, I need you to come in here and help me clean this up. And then 2 or 3 minutes goes by. Now, when did disobedience start? which response, which request is the one that ignites? Okay, that's the one. No, you're a parent. You know you expect obedience. You expect a response. And for that response to be with reverence and care. And if not, you are going to respond in kind immediately. Because if you don't address slow obedience, it will continue in disobedience. Is it not logical that God is the same? If I don't do these things, God will give me mercy. He will give me time. But that time is going to get shorter. And the problems are going to get worse. And the circumstances that I find myself in are going to be beyond my control. What do they finally lead to? A totally distracted life. I don't even want to look at the light, let alone shine it. Do you know Christians who have just lost their interest? Not just desire. We struggle with that. Sometimes we lose our sense of zeal. But I'm talking about the person who has forgotten the source of the light altogether. They don't care any longer. We can reach that point as others have. Judas was distracted. His life was lost because money became the light of his life. Cares, worries, anxieties of your and my environment diminish our light. We have to express the brightness of his glory by what we say, what we do, and how we think. We in our fellowship ought to brighten one another. Amen? What happens when you put two glowing embers close together? They become brighter. Put some more together and they'll stop glowing. They'll become a flame. They will strengthen and continue to feed. And you know what happens? They begin to absorb the oxygen. And if you put more source, more material, that flame will grow and grow and grow. What is the source? God's word. What is the material? Souls. Isn't it amazing what God did to all known existence with 12 men? What can he do with you and with me in this life today? If we'll let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify God who is in heaven. Let's go to God in prayer. Great and all-wise Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the light that shined down from heaven, that beautiful and loving light in the name and person of Jesus the Christ. Thank you, Father, that we have wisdom and insight that we can face our secret sins, the things that we deny. That, Father, through your word, we understand that our solutions just don't match up. We can never figure out how to be pleasing to you in a consistent basis. Help us, Lord, that we don't give in to hiding from ourselves or hiding from you. Father, you are the only solution, and we're so thankful to that. We're so thankful, Father, that in you we have true peace. We have true fellowship one with another and with you. You bring out in us a love that we could never know, that we can share with other people. Help us, Lord, to love ourselves and to share that love so that our works are not just good in the sight of men, but they're good because you have determined them to be good. That you have seen our righteousness and you have declared it to be so. Your word, Father, amplifies every beautiful thing in this life. Father, we truly understand better that we are a light that is set in a bright place that draws us to you. Help us, Father, not to give in to ourselves because we're human. And when we give in to ourselves, we begin to focus on ourselves and we begin to glorify ourselves and we say to others, look at me. But when we humble ourselves and when we give ourselves over to you, then others will look at us and say, look at him. Look at the power that changed a life. All of us, we're so thankful that you've changed our lives and we want to draw others to you, the true source of our strength, the true source of our humility, the true source of our goodness, that we can truly be blameless before thee because of your son, because of mercy. We certainly mess up. So many times, Father, we fall short. But thank you for helping us to not wallow in our pity, but that we pick ourselves up, we dust ourselves off, and we continue to press on toward the upward call of Jesus Christ. That is the mark that we all strive for. Let every one of us, Father, be able to achieve that through your grace, so that on that great and faithful day, you can say, well done, good and faithful servants. What beautiful words it would be for us to hear if you were to say that toward us. But only by your grace and mercy is that possible. Thank you for Jesus and for his sacrifice. Thank you that he is the light of this world. He is a power. He is a source of all that exists and that all will ever be. And especially, we look to the home in heaven with him. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, you're among people who love you. And we want to show you that love through prayer. We want to encourage you. And we want to be with you to serve you, whatever your need may be, as we stand, as we sing. Let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light.
Oh, sinner, harden not thy heart, being saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will I be saved? And why tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, oh, let me wise be saved. Tonight, and oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will love me say, then why not tonight?
Our blessed Lord refuses none.
Who would to him their souls unite? Believe, obey, the work is done. Be saved, oh, tonight. And oh, why not tonight? And oh, why not tonight? Will the
amen. Please be seated.
Please be seated. Amen. As we get ready for the Lord's Supper, please turn to page 12. Page 12, 1-2. So we're going to sing all five verses first, and then we'll sing the chorus at the end. We'll sing all five verses together. Then we'll sing the chorus after the fifth verse.
At last Sunday did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die. Would he that sacred head for such a one as I,
and was if a crime that I have done, he groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond when might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt mine eyes to tears.
drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, and it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
We enter the Lord's Supper. I would like to read from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Will you bow with me? Father, we're so thankful for great love that you showed for us, Father, that even in our sin, Father, that you were willing to send your Son to die for us, and that he was willing to submit to your will, Father, and to take our sin upon the cross, Father. And as we partake of this bread, which is an emblem of his body, Father, that we will do so recalling that great sacrifice for us that was given for us and the life that we and the life that we have through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's continue. Father, again, we're so thankful for that sacrifice that was made on our behalf, Father, that for Jesus submitted himself to terrible death on the cross, Father, and enduring the terrible pain, a physical and emotional pain, Father, and for the blood that was shed on our behalf. And Father, as we take this time to now to partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents that blood, that pure and clean blood that cleanses us of our sins, Father, we pray that we'll do so, remembering that sacrifice in a manner pleasing to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. We'll now like to take this time to give back as we've been blessed. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, we're so thankful for all the blessings you've given us, Father. We know that everything that we have comes from you, Father, and that we're blessed in so many ways that we can't even count, Father, for the jobs that we have, willing to earn money, and Father, for our health and our homes. And we know that everything we have comes from you, Father. And as we have this time to give back a portion of those blessings that for the further into your kingdom, Father, we pray that we will do so with an open and cheerful heart, Father, that many blessings may come from it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing song for the day would be 397. 397. If you have it, let us sing together. Brightly beamed our Father's mercies from the lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the Lord lights be burning, send the gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamps, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send the gleam across the waves. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save.
Amen.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
It's good to see each and everyone here today.
Amen.
You're visiting with us. We thank you for being here. And I don't know that we have any visitors today, but if I missed one, thank you for being here. We appreciate it so very much. We have a few announcements to take care of before we're dismissed. Butch and Sheree's nephew, J.C. Buster, remember him in prayer. He had a stroke and is in the hospital in Temple, so let's remember him. Also, Sister Essie Moore, as she undergoes the next phase of her cancer treatment, she will begin radiation the first week of May, and so let's remember her. And so she's doing amazingly well, and she appreciates all of our prayers. So let's continually remember her in our prayers. Sandra Thurman's cousin, Frank Daniels, has Lyme disease from a tick bite, and sometimes we don't think of that as too much, but it's pretty ordeal. And then David Kelsey, Rachel Brinkley's brother. Binkley's brother, I'm sorry, has hip replacement tomorrow for the third time. And so let's remember him and those administering unto his care. Is there anything else to be announced? The other things is the prayer meeting today at 3 p.m. on Zoom. And then the 26th, next Sunday, there will be a fellowship meal here at the building. If you have an opportunity to stay for that, please do so. Sir.
There will not be a
fellowship. Oh, not be. I wasn't going to be here, so. I was looking out for you guys. Anyway. Okay, let's see if I can get this right. Only like giving is available for members in the member section of our website. So, not a fellowship meal next week. I know there's a lot of people out of town. I know we will be. So let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time thanking you so very much for the privilege that we've had to come here today. And Heavenly Father, worship you, we pray, in spirit and in truth. And we're mindful of our number who can't be here, that you'd be with them and bless them, that are continuing on our prayer list, Heavenly Father, that you'd be with them and watch over them. We're mindful also of those who have been mentioned here today. J.C. Buster, that you'll be with him and those ministering his care. Sister Essie Moore, that you'll watch over her and keep your hand upon her as she continues these treatments. We pray for Frank Daniels and for David Kelsey, Heavenly Father, that you'll be with them and bless them and help them through this difficult time that they have. We're indeed thankful for the love you have shown us through Jesus Christ, your Son, and the privileges that we have and the relationship that we have with him. We pray that you'll be with us and watch over us as we leave this place, and keep us in your loving care. This is our prayer through Jesus Christ, your Son, and our Savior. Amen.